This is WSBT's Community Update on 96.1 WSBT.
Good morning, I'm John Hoffman. Community Update this week will consist of updates on a number of key stories from the past week. Local developer Dave Matthews could lose millions of dollars in state and city tax incentives if he can't find a grocery store and pharmacy for the ground floor of a 10-story apartment tower he's already broken ground for on South Bend's East Bank.
This hole in the ground will need to have a grocery and a pharmacy. If not, Matthews will have to return the $5 million TIF dollars the city gave him to work on the project, as well as the matching grant from regional cities. And if the project fails, Matthews will have to pay another $2.5 million to the city. Dave Matthews had a grocer and pharmacist lined up for his new building, Martin Supermarkets. Then the chain was bought out by Spartan Nash.
Their enthusiasm has cooled off. They gave us a confirmation that they don't have an interest in a pharmacy.
Matthew says he's found a pharmacist who's ready to work in the space.
We are still looking for a grocery partner.
Councilwoman Joe Broden represents the district where Matthew's project is being built. She says the project may be a little rushed considering the fact that construction started in December and the Martin sale was announced in November.
Who digs a hole in the ground without a lease in place of the main driver of this project?
But Matthew says it's hard for a potential grocer to visualize what the space might look like.
So now that we're under construction, you know, in 6 months they can walk through the floor and say, oh, this is what it's going to look like.
Broden says Matthews can't just bring in any old grocer. He's gotten a lot of taxpayer help, so his project needs to benefit those taxpayers. Broden says she expects to see a business owner with a track record of success.
It has to be sustainable. It can't be a one-year deal in terms of meeting that deliverable of a pharmacy and a grocery.
Matthew says he's dedicated to holding up his end of the bargain on this project. He says if all else fails, there's a last resort option.
If we don't find somebody else to operate it, well, we'll have to hire somebody and do it ourselves.
Matthews added that there are fewer people living downtown than other parts of the county, which makes this area less desirable to grocery chains because they might not make as much money here. He also added that grocery stores might not be so vital because of the rise of delivery services. Broden disagrees. She says a grocery store is very important to attracting and retaining people who might want to live downtown.
WSBT 22's Caitlin Conan reporting. The U.S. Supreme Court Tuesday upheld an Indiana law that requires abortion providers to treat aborted fetuses as human remains, a possible sign that the more conservative court might consider greater abortion restrictions. But the justices also rejected the state's appeal of a lower court ruling that blocks a separate provision to prevent an Indiana woman from having an abortion based on disability, race, or gender. Two justices dissented as the high court suggested it might give greater consideration to state abortion restrictions without accepting a more direct challenge to abortion rights. The ruling allows Indiana to enforce a requirement that clinics either bury or cremate fetal remains. Liberal Justices Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sonia Sotomayor dissented. The 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago earlier blocked both provisions of a law signed by then-Governor Mike Pence in 2016. Pence, of course, is now vice president. The court said it is leaving open court challenges to similar laws under a higher legal standard. Indiana Senator Todd Young spoke Wednesday in South Bend about the importance of moving the legal smoking age to 21. The Republican senator introduced legislation called the Tobacco to 21 Act. He says it's getting bipartisan support.
At times he stuck to facts and figures. At other moments he provided personal anecdotes about why he was doing this. And he had local students talk about how tobacco has impacted their lives.
Tobacco usage is bad for one's
health. Senator Todd Young says one of the reasons he co-sponsored the Tobacco to 21 Act is because of his daughter. He says she came home from school one day upset. All of her school functions had been canceled because several students were repeatedly caught vaping in the school bathroom. And he claims 75% of Hoosiers want this legislation, along with many members of Congress.
I think it means some of us are listening to our constituents. They're frankly tired of the coarse dialogue in Washington. They're tired of the polarization. They want us to focus on some areas where we can find common ground.
One of his future constituents spoke in support of Young's legislation today. High school sophomore Abby Nauman says she was always very close with her grandmother, who died of complications due to tobacco use. and she encouraged her granddaughter to do something to change tobacco laws.
The last memories that I have of her are sitting, rubbing circles in her bag as she's gasping for air, just saying, "God, take me home."
Young points out that nationwide data is troubling, with 95% of adult smokers starting before they're 21. But he says he's equally troubled by the data in Indiana, where tobacco users help contribute to nearly $3 billion in healthcare costs.
In our state specifically, tobacco use continues to be the single most preventable cause of death and disease. In fact, we're 45th in the nation in percentage of smokers, with a smoking rate of 21.8%.
Young says public health experts have told him that raising the legal tobacco age is the number one thing lawmakers can do to protect children and teenagers.
Young says this legislation hasn't encountered much opposition. He hopes the bill will pass and that President Trump will sign it in the next few months.
WSBT 22's Tali Taylor reporting. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer has signed a bill that will allow drivers to reduce their auto insurance rates starting next summer. The bill allows drivers to pick lower personal injury protection levels, where right now they must buy unlimited coverage. Michigan has the highest average auto insurance rates in the nation, and the required personal injury coverage is probably the biggest reason why. A big quarter for South Bend International. The airport reports the most passengers during the first quarter since 2001. More than 193,000 people flew in or out of South Bend. That's up 23% from the same period in 2018. Leaders at the airport credit a program to encourage local business people to fly from here instead of from Chicago or Indy. The recent wet conditions are not helping local farmers. They're inching closer and closer to the point of no return this year for some crops, especially corn.
Corn takes a lot longer to mature and grow, so if it's not planted very soon, then it won't be able to stand up to the first fall frost. Some farmers are trying alternative crops or different seeds, but there's still a lot of uncertainty.
These fields in Elkhart County are sitting empty, like fields all around northern Indiana. Persistent rain and cold has left farmers unable to plant anything.
Decisions will have to be made that's in the next week or two.
The situation is reaching a dire point. Horticulturist Richard Kennedy with St. Joseph County's Purdue Extension Office says the problem will only get worse.
Basically, you want to get your corn to mature and to dry in the field before harvest. And you want that corn to mature also before you get that first killing freeze, because then you get a lot of losses that way.
Some farmers are starting to move to different types of corn that can mature faster, but even the time for that is running out. Soybeans will soon be the only option, but right now farmers are just playing the waiting game.
Current status is there's nothing getting done.
Lynn Laux is the president of Elkhart County's Farm Bureau. He says even the reliance on planting soybeans has its limits.
With the technology we have, the large machinery we have, we can put a lot of crop in a short period of time. But when you have no opportunity to get in the fields, it's tough.
Farmers are receiving some farm aid from the Trump administration, mostly dealing with tariffs. But at this point, they don't know if they'll have anything to sell at all. And if you ask a farmer if they plan on quitting, you'll probably get an answer like this.
Farmer never gives up. We never give up.
And some farmers do have insurance on their crops, but it can only go so far. Laux says even with soybeans, yields will be more than likely still be too low.
WSBT 22's Max Lewis reporting. Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb announced Tuesday the members of the restructured Northern Indiana Commuter Transportation District Board, which controls the South Shoreline. He named Republican Commissioner Andy Castelny as the representative for St. Joseph County. The South Bend Tribune reports that under an amendment to the state's budget bill passed last month, the board was trimmed from 11 members to 5, giving the governor's office the power to appoint members from the four counties covered by the South Shore Line. The budget bill also included $185 million that could be used to match federal grants for extending the South Shore Line in Lake County as part of the Westlake Corridor Project and for double tracking between Gary and Michigan City. The governor's move was criticized by state-level Democrats, who called it a power grab and an attempt to take local control away. Until now, Lake, Porter, LaPorte, and St. Joseph counties each appointed two members selected by the county council and county commissioners. Castelny is the only person returning from the 11-member board. Now, the lone representative for St. Joseph County, he previously served on the board alongside Democratic County Council member Mark Catanzarite. Catanzarite, who served on the board for 16 years, expressed reservations about the new board, though he noted that Castelny's experience will be important. The other members of the board are Gary Mayor Karen Freeman Wilson, Porter County Commissioner Jeff Good, Michigan City Mayor Ron Meir, and Indiana Department of Transportation Commissioner Joe McGinnis. The new structure of the board includes a clause requiring bipartisan representation among the new members, two Democrats and two Republicans making up the new board, in addition to NDOT's McGinnis. Mike Nolan, president and general manager of the South Shore Line, said each board member has experience working with the commuter line. The Pottawatomie Zoo is facing a lawsuit. Former curator Jennifer Davis is suing the zoo over an alleged inappropriate relationship and animal mistreatment. Davis says she was sexually harassed, and executive director Marcy Dean had a relationship with a prison inmate from the DOC's work release program. The South Bend Tribune reports Davis says that after learning about Dean's relationship, Dean bullied her and acted hostile towards her. Davis also reported unsanitary and unfit conditions for both animals and the public. In the lawsuit, she says the staff veterinarian compared women to fighting animals and said drama of that nature was, quote, just like women. She goes on to say the vet made an issue of a pregnant employee taking what he thought of as too much time to pump her breast milk and blamed issues among staff on, quote, too many women on the team. Davis tells the newspaper she was fired with no notice last year for voicing her concerns, even though she had received a good and commendable mark on her most recent performance review. The suit was filed a week ago Friday in federal court in South Bend, the same day Dean left her position at the zoo. It's unclear why Dean left, but she told the Tribune the relationship Davis refers to was only a friendship and says she often mentored inmates during her time at the zoo. We're less than a month away from the U.S. Senior Open at Notre Dame's Warren Golf Course. Construction crews have made quick work of setting up for the championship. They started a couple of months ago.
A good portion of the big projects, like the villas and skyboxes, have already been completed. There's still a lot to be finished, but the operations manager says they're looking pretty good.
A sound that will soon come from some of the best golfers in the country. The goal of the championship is simple.
We want to bring out as many, you know, fans and kids and to come out to the championship and enjoy a great venue, a great golf course, and obviously some great stuff that we build out on the golf course.
The operations manager, Casey Prashan, says it takes a lot of work to accomplish that, especially with the amount of construction going up.
In total structures, you're probably looking at, you know, anywhere from 40 to 50 temporary structures to be built on the golf course. That makes up a small city, if you will.
Many of the skyboxes and villas are already built, the big projects being completed first.
It's the small tents going out behind it, it's the, you know, stairs and landings and ramps that we have for some of the tents that are being finished up right now.
Prashan says they still have fencing to put up and several projects starting next week.
Bleachers is definitely the big one that starts next Tuesday on the 4th. Then after that, the generators and power and air company will come in and start running cable so we can make all these tents have air conditioning and we can power them up. After that, we'll roll in restroom trailers for these hospitality venues.
He says altogether, it'll be one of the largest builds they've done.
Last year, in comparison, we're probably, you know, four or five times the size of the build that we did last year out in Colorado Springs.
But with large builds come large costs.
It takes a good amount of money to put all this in the golf on the golf course, but it's worth every penny.
With a lot of work still to be done, Prashan says by next week, the golf course will look completely different. The championship will start June 24th.
WSBT 22's DJ Manu reporting. The top senior golfers age 50 and older will compete on the Warren Golf Course June 27th through 30th.
The views expressed on WSBT's Community Update are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host, WSBT Radio, its staff, or management. Join us again next week on Community Update on the Sports Leader, 96.1 WSBT.